Chapter 27, Road to Greatness. Anyone who is for eliminating and rooting out the very causes of crime, poverty, disease, and ignorance must of necessity also be for the shrinking of the colored races. Anyone who is for the promotion and advancement of civilization and culture, peace, plenty, and prosperity must of necessity be for the advancement and expansion of the white race. Our religion, creativity, is for both of these goals, namely, the shrinking of the colored races and the expansion of the white race, not only because it is highly desirable, which it is. We are overwhelmingly dedicated to these goals, because nature has bestowed upon us the manifest calling to expand our kind to the limit of our abilities and to populate the world with our own kind. We are committed to this program because it is implanted in our very instinct and in our very soul to do so. Nature not only grants us every right to expand our own kind to the limit of our abilities, but tells us that this is the very essence of our mission in being here upon this earth. There is another overriding reason why we must expand the white race to the limit of our abilities. If we do not, the colored scum not only will, but is expanding at a frightening rate. They not only will annihilate us and crowd us from the face of the earth, but they are doing so here and now, right before our eyes. They are only able to do so with our help and our acquiescence. They are doing it with the complicity of the Jew in conjunction with our own blindness, or better still, our own criminal stupidity. When we look at the crime statistics, we find that more than 85% of all violent crimes in the United States are committed by the niggers, who constitute, we are told, approximately 12% of our population. Another disproportionate number of crimes of violence is committed by Puerto Ricans and other mixed breeds that the Jews have deliberately dragged into this country in large numbers. When it comes to the more sophisticated crimes, such as fraud, swindle, forgery, organized crime, and prostitution, we find the majority of these crimes are either committed directly or instigated or managed by the international Jew. Even those crimes of which the white man is accused, if investigated in depth, it will be found that somehow the Jew dragged the white man into it one way or another, either through his promotion of alcohol, or his pornography racket, or his organization of the dope racket, or one of the many other organized forms of crime at which the Jew is so adept. In any case, it can be safely said that the incidence of crime for 100,000 niggers or 100,000 Jews is at least 20 to 30 times as high as it is for the same number of white people. If further, the Jewish influence, both through his organized crime and degenerate propaganda, were totally eliminated from the white man's society, it would be quite safe to say that crime as such would vanish as a problem of any importance, and in fact, would be a rarity, rather than the overwhelming plague that it has become today. The same conclusion can be reached in regards to poverty, disease, and ignorance. If we were living totally in a white society, completely purged of Jewish influence, these problems, too, would be as good as solved. With the Jewish stranglehold that now seems to overwhelm the white race, these problems will never be solved. On the contrary, they will get worse, and the white man will be utterly destroyed unless we break that stranglehold. We must, at all costs, free ourselves from this tyrannical Jewish domination and wrest control of the white man's destiny from the Jew and again place it in the firm hands of the white man himself. In this book, we have already set the goals, spelled out the objectives, and built an eternal creed around which the white man can rally forever. The purpose of this chapter is to discuss and suggest the means of achieving these great and eternal goals. How do we go about this? The answer lies with you, my dear white brother or white sister. What better person in the world is there than you who are reading this to grasp the problem, dedicate yourself to it, and start to work right now? The goals can and must be achieved. It is a matter of life and death. The key words in this mighty struggle are dedication, propaganda, and organization. I repeat, dedication, propaganda, and organization. One man or one woman working for a cause can do much in a lifetime. With others helping him or her, they can do a great deal more. Thousands working together in unison towards a common goal, organized and dedicated, can become a tremendous and overwhelming influence. Millions of white people working as an organized force towards a united cause can and will become the mightiest force on the face of the earth. There is nothing that can stop them. Not only is there strength in numbers, but there is a tremendous strength in unity and in having a dedicated goal. It acts as a huge battering ram that no disorganized force can resist. Organized and united, the white race is 10 times as powerful as the rest of the world combined. Throughout this book, we have already discussed how tremendously important are dedication and loyalty to one's own race. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, these are the first and basic elements that we must have in order to start rebuilding our white society and again gain control of our own destiny. Since I have emphasized this throughout the book, I will not dwell on this tremendously important element at this time. But I do want to emphasize further the key importance of propaganda. Whereas the Jew full well knows the value of propaganda, most white people shun the very term, as if it were something corrupt and unclean. This is a completely nonsensical attitude, and we must not allow ourselves to be prejudiced against using this most important and powerful tool. Propaganda, as such, is neither good nor bad, depending on how it is used. It is like the word government, which can be good, bad, or indifferent. Or it is like the words religion, or politics, or money. None of these words are necessarily good or bad in themselves. Properly used, they can be of tremendous influence for the good. In the wrong hands, such as, for instance, the Jews, they can be powerful tools which can do us a great deal of harm. In short, propaganda is like fire, depending on how it is used and by whom, as to whether it will be destructive or whether it will be highly constructive. Hitler has truthfully said that propaganda can make heaven look like hell, and conversely, hell look like heaven. The Jews have overwhelmingly proven this to be true. They have made communist Russia, which is a hell state, a super slave state, look good in the eyes of most Americans by the overwhelming and widespread use of propaganda. At the same time, they have made Hitler's Nazi Germany a period of great constructive activity for the white race, a resurgence and blossoming of culture and prosperity, appear as a fiendish slave state in the eyes of much of the rest of the white world. It was propaganda in huge quantities foisted upon the minds of the white people of America that drove them to war against their own best interests and helped the Jews smash the white man's struggle for retaining control of his own destiny. Had, for instance, the propaganda of the 1930s in America been in the hands of people who were dedicated to the interests of the white race, and had they exposed the nefarious Jewish conspiracy instead of lying to the white people, I am sure that the white people of America would have joined the Germans in cleaning house. So, from this one instance alone, we can see that propaganda is like the hand on the throttle of a huge and powerful locomotive. That hand can, with very little effort, make that powerful locomotive go either backwards or forwards. It is the hand on the throttle that decides. So it is with propaganda. The Jew has known for thousands of years the tremendous power that he controls if he is in charge of the propaganda apparatus. It is for this reason he has always gravitated to the nerve centers of power and first of all gained control of the news media. Once in control of that means of propaganda, he feels relatively secure because he knows that without any competition, he can manipulate, poison, direct, and confuse the minds of his goyim victims at will. At present, the white man is almost entirely stripped of any widespread means of propaganda. Even those we seem to think are in the hands of the white man are, by and large, manipulated in the background by the same foul culprit, the Jew. Are we then entirely helpless in this respect? No, we are not. One of the most powerful means of transmitting ideas is the spoken word, word of mouth. This the Jew cannot control, at least not at this time in America. You can and must take advantage of every opportunity to talk about the creed and program of the white race, as summarized and contained in this book. But that is only the starting point. Not only can you talk up the white man's program, but you can distribute large quantities of this book itself and give your white racial comrades an opportunity to read and see the logic of the whole program for themselves. Skill in the use of propaganda is of the utmost importance. It is a grave mistake to try to promote too many issues at one time. The real genius of a successful politician is to keep hammering away on just a few points at the most. At the same time, approach it from 1,000 different angles, always reaching the same conclusion and hammering away like a battering ram at the same vulnerable target. In no case are the masses of the people able to sustain a concerted drive against a multitude of fronts. To try to do so is only to confuse the issues and to scatter the energy needed to batter down the enemy. Propaganda should not be like a scattering of buckshot, but should carry the wallop of a magnum high-powered rifle bullet. Furthermore, propaganda must be aimed for the masses, not for the few intellectuals. It is the masses that are the powerhouse of our drive for racial independence and supremacy, and therefore this whole religious movement must be aimed for the masses. It is furthermore a mistake to talk in lofty intellectual circles above the heads of the people whom you are trying to reach. The more simple and the more powerful you can keep the issue, all the issues, the more effective will be the impact. In this regard, repetition is a key to driving home the point. In this book, I have used repetition over and over again of many of the key issues, and done so intentionally to emphasize those things that are most important, approaching the same issue from many different angles in order to arrive at the same conclusion. If the unimportant and the important were mentioned with only the same infrequency, the average listener or the average reader would not discern from your presentation what is important and what is trivial. For instance, at this time, the Jews are hammering away at ecology, repeating over and over again the importance of ecology without really saying anything much that is new. The very fact, however, that it is given so much time and so much repetition and so much emphasis impresses upon the average listener that it must be of utmost importance, and after a while, he begins to accept it as a fact. The fact that the Jews are putting over a fallacious and fictitious idea for the devious purpose of controlling more of your land and more of your business activities is beside the point. The average person listening to the ecology propaganda day after day soon begins to be swept up with the propaganda, becomes convinced of its importance, and soon begins to make the issue his very own. So it is with the tremendously important issue of race that we are now faced within hammering home into the consciousness of our own people. We must keep repeating the issue again and again and again. We must keep hammering away at it. We must approach it from a thousand different angles until the white man realizes the true issues of his fight for survival that he is now embroiled in, one from which he cannot escape. The first place to begin is to form a church group of your own, that is, a church of the Creator. Christianity says, where two or more are gathered is a good unit to start with. We can't help but agree with most of the propaganda procedures and methods that Christianity has used and perfected over the last some 19 centuries. Nobody can really argue with the effectiveness of their methods. After all, they had a most difficult and unattractive product to sell, and the fact that they have sold it so successfully speaks highly of the effectiveness of their sales methods. We would do well to examine their methods and get the benefit of the 19 centuries of experience they have acquired. These are now available to us in the means of organizing a church of our own. We can learn much from the means they have utilized in so successfully spreading their doctrine. Certainly, the number of Christian churches that are springing up even today in America, and the ease with which it seems they can raise money to build these tremendously costly and bizarre church buildings for a completely pointless and unrealistic cause, should be of encouragement for us, the white race. It should make us realize that we can do better in promoting and spreading a much more worthy cause, namely the survival of the white race. Therefore, we too can organize. We too can gain members. We too can raise money. And we too can build meeting houses for the assemblage of the loyal members of our race. Since some religious sects are more successful than others, let us learn from the more successful. At this point in America, the Mormon religion is spreading the fastest, as we have already stated in a previous chapter. Let us therefore remember and review what the Mormon technique is. After you have founded the nucleus for the church group, starting with as few as possibly two or three, give yourselves a specific name to distinguish your particular church of the Creator from that of another group. Start out with a headquarters and a mailing address, which might be your own home, or it might be a building or a hall that you can rent. Having done this much, start recruiting. We will remember the Mormon technique of recruiting was to have two young men, neatly dressed, go from house to house with a cheerful and inviting line of entry to engage people in conversation, and if possible, to gain entrance to their living room, where they can discuss their particular religion further. This is very important. Getting accepted and getting entrance, whereby you can then further discuss at leisure the tenets of your particular belief, is a first but a very important step. From there on out, you have so many issues that you can more or less choose from to probe the white brothers and sisters to whom you are speaking. Today, with the average white family's children being bussed away into a nigger district, or the niggers being bussed into their district, with white neighborhoods being encroached by the blacks, with taxes and welfare being heaped on the backs of the white worker, with blacks being promoted into jobs that were held by whites, there are a dozen different issues that worry and weigh upon the minds of the average white family in America. It is your task to promote and find out just which of these issues strike fire with the person or persons with whom you are speaking. Having found that issue, it is then paramount to explore it fully and to suggest the solution to those problems. And in one way or another, the solution will be in joining with the other white racial comrades in a common cause under the leadership of the Church of the Creator, and in organizing further from there. Therefore, when you find those who are interested in joining into the white community, invite them to your next church meeting. Meetings that should be held at a regular time each week. From this small and inauspicious beginning, build a huge and mighty church in your neighborhood. It is our objective to have built 100,000 such temples for the preservation of the white race across this land of ours, and from there on out throughout the world. I am convinced that if only 1/10 of the time, energy, and money were spent in the promotion and spreading of the white man's religion, namely creativity, that is now spent on barely keeping alive the sick and morbid Christian religion, that our religion would spread like wildfire. I believe that if less than 1/10 of the effort was spent in exposing Christianity for what it is, and explaining our new, vibrant, and dynamic religion, that Christianity would soon wither on the vine, and creativity would triumph throughout the white world. This is our goal and our objective. Since our program is so revolutionary and so basic and requires a reorientation in so much of the confused thinking that now clutters the mind of the white race, it is of utmost importance that as many prospective recruits to our church be given the opportunity and be induced to read this book. Therefore, constant campaigns to distribute and disseminate this book should be launched not only in your neighborhood, but in areas where you think there is fertile ground. With so many white parents alarmed and seething with rebellion against the forced integration and mongrelization of our white race, the opportunities for promoting and distributing this book are endless. In the distribution of this book, again, the house-to-house method is one of the best. Again, going in pairs, either two men making an attractive presentation, or a man and a woman going house-to-house, try to either sell the book after some favorable discussion, or if the prospective recruits are hesitant in buying it, make them an outright gift of it. Another alternative is to let them borrow the book and let them read it for themselves, with the idea that you will check back and see whether they would wish to buy it later. In any case, avail yourself of 1,000 copies of this book and start distributing them. That this might mean a considerable sacrifice to some is undoubtedly true. However, when you consider of how much money the Jews are robbing from you constantly, year after year after year, such sacrifice is a tremendously good investment, one that must be made. Remember what the Jew does. He gives, and gives generously, to his many racial causes. He keeps plowing back his earnings in one way or another to again benefit his race, which in turn rewards him handsomely for his dedication and loyalty. In any case, remember, when this book at last becomes the public property of the white race, we can consider that the back of the Jewish conspiracy will have been broken forever. One of the most important aspects of gaining recruits and in the use of propaganda is the ability to effectively speak in public. Hitler says that all great movements have been promoted by the power of the spoken word. It therefore behooves you to learn to speak well. Not only is it important to become a good public speaker, but it is important to become a good debater even in small circles or in a contest with a single individual. One of the best organizations that I know of that you can join quite easily and rather inexpensively to learn to speak well is an organization called Toastmasters. Not only will this give you an opportunity to immediately learn to improve your speaking techniques, but you will have an immediate platform from which to test some of your ideas and your speeches, as well as to make a number of new contacts, most of which are quite articulate and certainly above average in intelligence and in ability. I personally joined Toastmasters back in 1965, and within a year, I had gained enough confidence to enter the political field and run for the State House of Representatives, which I successfully won in my first try. As you get further organized, the use of handbills with brief and catchy slogans announcing your meetings are very effective. These can be distributed on a house-to-house basis, or at shopping centers, or football games, or other areas, wherever a large number of people can be contacted with a minimum of effort. Another effective device is the use of the recorded telephone message with a number to call that can be advertised by word of mouth, by car, by handbills, and by advertising. This telephone message should be changed every week. A schedule should be set up, and the message itself should inform the listener when the message changes, so that he can call and listen again to the new message. One of the most fertile fields to disseminate and spread the inspiring and dynamic new religion is amongst those who today seem to be most hopelessly enmeshed in the Jewish network. This group is the young people of today, especially the college students. When we see all the Jewish perversion that our young people have fallen prey to, we are too inclined to blame them for their transgressions and write them off as hopelessly lost. This is completely erroneous. These young people who have become hippies, who have become Marxist and revolutionaries, are much more to be pitied than censored. They are victims rather than culprits. They have had the full fury of the treacherous Jewish conspiracy unleashed upon them, with absolutely no guidance and no defenses provided for them by their parents or their elders. Basically, and underneath, these people are fine, idealistic, white loyalists with their instincts still very much alive and receptive to a goal and an ideology they can follow and one they can believe in. They have been so thoroughly duped and misled and deceived by their elders with all this hypocritical Christianity. They are overwhelmingly confused by all the contradictory bad advice they have received, with no goals to strive for, no objectives to follow, with no particular future to work for. They have thrown it all overboard and rebelled. They have rebelled, but they don't know what to replace it with. They are desperately searching, groping in a vacuum. I therefore believe that especially on the college campuses, our new religion, based on the laws of nature, based on common sense, and on the lessons of history, and above all, based on their own good, healthy instincts, will catch on and spread like wildfire. I therefore believe that our greatest emphasis should be with the young people, and especially those that are now roaming the college campuses, aimlessly searching for what they know not. I believe here is the most fertile and most significant field of endeavor, where we can really sow the seed. Therefore, the utmost effort should be directed towards forming college groups, college clubs, based on the advancement and promotion of the white race, and founding church groups amongst the students that they themselves can lead and expand. Another tremendously significant project that can be undertaken by dedicated, loyal white people with means is to start a private school or a private university that is based on the principles of the Church of the Creator. This is no more difficult than, say, starting a Catholic school or a Catholic university or a Methodist college or a Baptist school. Certainly the need for such a series of schools is overwhelming, and the good that could be derived from such would be everlasting. With our so-called public schools being mongrelized and becoming dens of iniquity and crime, the need for schools based on the preservation of the white race and loyalty to the white race is overwhelming and urgent. As a further offshoot of this same idea, training schools for leaders in the white movement and leaders for our church must be formed. This would be along the same lines as the theological schools the Christian churches now use to train their preachers and ministers. In the same way, we must have schools to train our leaders and our missionaries to promote, disseminate, and advance our philosophy and our race. We also need bookstores which stock books that expose the Jew and promote creativity. In this line of endeavor, we also need a number of creative writers that will rewrite history of the last several thousand years, taking into account the Jewish influence and perversion of our white history, of our thinking, and of our religion. If you are editorially inclined, you could probably start a newspaper that would disseminate the ideas that our new religion is based upon. Certainly the Jews have done this very effectively in publishing and disseminating communistic newspapers, liberal newspapers, and in fact, mostly every newspaper that is tinged with these ideologies being covertly and overtly disseminated throughout their pages. As I have mentioned before, most great movements are spread by the power of the spoken word. This is still as true today as it ever was, and what our religion and our movement desperately needs is a great number of well-trained speakers who will go out into the field and deliver our message as missionaries for our dynamic new movement. Therefore, one other thing that you could do is to form a speakers bureau that will help train and inform articulate and dynamic young speakers to go out and spread the word. The John Birch Society has done this very effectively, and a study of their methods could be a constructive guide as to what we can do in sending out missionaries to spread our own dynamic and revolutionary new ideas. If you are at that stage of life where you are about to choose a career or a job, it would behoove you to go into such fields in which you could take advantage of being a missionary for our cause. If you choose an occupation such as being a writer for a newspaper, or an advertising agent, or an author of books, or a publisher, or in any field that has to do with public information, you can be in a key position to disseminate the ideas with missionary zeal. The foregoing are a number of ways and means that you can start today to launch this tremendously important, revolutionary new religion. No one person will do all of these things. In fact, if you choose one or two or three, you will be doing well. But in any case, it is a guide to start you thinking as to what you can do to start putting into action that about which you have been reading and about which you have been thinking. This is by no means a complete list, nor is this the end of the activities in which you can engage. It might behoove you to sit down and make a list of other activities that you could successfully promote and start your own program. In any case, this is a beginning and a guide. It is urgent that you start now and put your shoulder to the wheel. Remember, ideology without action is sterile. We must act. There is no time to lose, and there is no better time to start than right now.